Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today Masechet Sota, Daf Mem Hei, the ninth parak, Egel Arufa. The Zichud Masechet Sota program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chazakas HaTorah. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, the Gemara notes that our Mishnah does not accord with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says, Zekanecha, zo Sanhedrin, your elders, this refers to the Sanhedrin, Shoftecha, Zemelch v'Kohen Gadol, your judges, this refers to the king and Kohen Gadol. The Gemara inquires if he holds like one of the Tanaim of our Mishnah regarding the number of judges required, or if he requires the entire Sanhedrin to come. Rabbi Yosef brought a brice which teaches that a Zakin Mamre, the rebellious elder, who received Sanhedrin's ruling outside of the Lishkas of Gazes and later ignores it, is not punished. Now, the case must be where the entire Sanhedrin was there, because otherwise he obviously could not be liable, since it's possible that other members would agree with him. But since at least 23 members must always be in the Lishkas of Gazes, how would this occur? It must be they left for a mitzvah that required the entire Sanhedrin, presumably to measure for an Egel Arufa. The Gemara answers that the entire Sanhedrin is required for a different purpose, Lohosifa al ir ba'azaros, to add to the city of Yerushalayim or to the Azaros of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Gemara brings another brace which clearly states that the Sanhedrin leaves for the purpose of measuring for Egel Arufa. Point number two, Abai once declared, Hareini ka ben azay b'shukei Taveria. Today I'm prepared to answer questions with depth and clarity like Ben Azay did in the markets of Taveria. He was asked, Shnei halalim zeh al gabi zeh, two corpses, which are found one on top of the other. Meheichan humodeit, from where does one measure to surrounding cities? Min beminu habitamun, umin beminu lo habitzaf. Do we say something covered by its own type, meaning another corpse, is considered covered and exempt from Egel Arufa, but something raised on its own type is not considered floating and is subject to Egel Arufa, Ume Elyon Moden, thus one would only measure from the top corpse, or perhaps the top corpse is considered floating and the bottom is not considered covered and we would only measure from the bottom. It's also possible that neither is subject to Egel Arufa if they're considered covered and floating respectively, and Rashi adds the possibility that they may both be subject to Egel Arufa. Abai offered a resolution from a brice regarding shechucha, where one sheaf of grain lay atop another, which are the same type. The Tanna Kamma says the bottom is shechucha and the top is not, because of the floating exemption. And Rabbi Shimon says neither is shechucha because the bottom has a covered exemption. The Gemara says they do not necessarily argue if the bottom is considered covered, but may disagree if there is a covered exemption regarding shechucha. And pointing with you, the next mission records a machlokas from where to measure. Rabbi Lezer says mitiburo, from his navel. Rabbi Yekiva says machotmo, from his nose. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says mamak mishenasa chala mitzavaro, from where he becomes a corpse, meaning from his neck. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Kiva holds ikar chiyusa ba'ape, his primary life element is in his nose, meaning breathing. Rabbi Elazar holds ikar chiyusa b'tibure, his primary life element is in his navel, meaning the digestive organs. The Gemara suggests this parallelism al chokas if a fetus is formed from the head or from the navel, but says that even Abba Shaul, who says a fetus is formed from the navel, can agree that after formation, breathing is a primary life element. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says to measure from the neck, based on a pasuk which says, Tzabarei chalalei rishayim, the necks of the corpses of the wicked, relating corpses with necks. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara notes that our Mishnah does not accord with the Elazar ben Yaakov, who says, Zekanecha zo Sanhedrin, your elders refers to Sanhedrin, Shoftecha zemelch u'Kohen Gadol, your judges, this refers to the king and Kohen Gadol. The Gemara inquires if he holds like one of the Tanaim of our Mishnah regarding the number of judges required, or if he requires the entire Sanhedrin to come. Rabbi Yosef brought a brice which teaches that a Zakin Mamre, the rebellious elder, who received Sanhedrin's ruling outside of the Lishkas of Gazes and later ignores it, is not punished. Now, the case must be where the entire Sanhedrin was there, because otherwise he obviously could not be liable, since it's possible that other members would agree with him. But since at least 23 members must always be in the Lishkas of Gazes, how would this occur? It must be they left for a mitzvah that required the entire Sanhedrin, presumably to measure for an Egel Arufa. The Gemara answers that the entire Sanhedrin is required for a different purpose, Lohosifa al ir ba'azaros, to add to the city of Yerushalayim or to the Azaros of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Gemara brings another brace which clearly states that the Sanhedrin leaves for the purpose of measuring for Egel Arufa. Point number two, Abai once declared, Hareini ka ben azay b'shukei Taveria. Today I'm prepared to answer questions with depth and clarity like Ben Azay did in the markets of Taveria. He was asked, Shnei halalim zeh al gabi zeh, two corpses, which are found one on top of the other. Meheichan humodeit, from where does one measure to surrounding cities? Min beminu habitamun, umin beminu lo habitzaf. Do we say something covered by its own type, meaning another corpse, is considered covered and exempt from Egel Arufa, but something raised on its own type is not considered floating and is subject to Egel Arufa? Ume Elyon Moden, thus one would only measure from the top corpse, or perhaps the top corpse is considered floating, and the bottom is not considered covered, and we would only measure from the bottom. It's also possible that neither is subject to Egel Rufa if they're considered covered and floating respectively, and Rashi adds the possibility that they may both be subject to Egel Rufa. Abai offered a resolution from a brisa regarding Shechucha, where one sheaf of grain lay atop another, which are the same type. The Tanna Kamma says the bottom is Shechucha and the top is not, because of the floating exemption, and Rabbi Shimon says neither is Shechucha because the bottom has a covered exemption. The Gemara says they do not necessarily argue if the bottom is considered covered, but may disagree if there is a covered exemption regarding Shechucha. And pointing with you, the next mission records a Machlokas from where to measure. Rabbi Lezer says, Mitiburo, from his navel. Rabbi Yekiva says, Machotmo, from his nose. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, Mamakm Shanasa Chalo Mitzavaro, from where he becomes a corpse, meaning from his neck. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Kiva holds Iker Chiyusa Ba'ape. His primary life element is in his nose, meaning breathing. Rabbi Lezer holds Iker Chiyusa Mitiburo. His primary life element is in his navel, meaning the digestive organs. The Gemara suggests this parallels Machlokas if a fetus is formed from the head or from the navel, but says that even Abba Shaul, who says a fetus is formed from the navel, can agree that after formation, breathing is a primary life element. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says to measure from the neck, based on a pasuk which says, Tzabarei chalei reshaim, the necks of the corpses of the wicked, relating corpses with necks. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Mem Hei, and our standard Siman is Monopoly, Mem Hei Ma, Monopoly, Monopoly. So here goes. The entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board in the middle of nowhere, were shocked to discover one mace on top of another, and debated who to measure from, and whether to measure from his navel nose or neck. Once again, slow motion. The entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board. Monopoly board? That must mean we're in Duff. Mem Hei, Monopoly. The entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board in the middle of nowhere, which reminds us, the Gemara notes that our Mishnah does not accord with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says, Zekanecha zo Sanhedrin, your elders refers to Sanhedrin, Shoftecha zemelch ukon gadol, your judges refers to the king and kon gadol. The Gemara seeks to clarify if the entire Sanhedrin needs to come. So, the entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board in the middle of nowhere were shocked to discover one mace on top of another and debated who to measure from, which reminds us, Abaye was asked, Shnei chalalim ze al gabi ze, two corpses, which are found one on top of the other, mehechem hu moded, from where does one measure to surrounding cities? Min b'minu havitamun, umin b'minu havitzav, do we say, something covered by its own type, meaning another corpse, is considered covered and exempt from Egel Rufa, but something raised on its own type is not considered floating and is subject to Egel Rufa, thus one would only measure from the top corpse, or perhaps the top corpse is considered floating and the bottom is not considered covered and we would only measure from the bottom. The Gemara brings other possibilities as well. So the entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board in the middle of nowhere were shocked to discover one mace on top of another and debated who to measure from and whether to measure from his navel, nose, or neck. Which reminds us, the next mission brings a machlokes regarding which part of the corpse to measure from. Is it from the nose, navel, or neck? So once again, the entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board in the middle of nowhere were shocked to discover one mace on top of another and debated who to measure from and whether to measure from his navel, nose, or neck. All right, so now it's time for four blabak chazara. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Siman Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes. The proud grandma, proud grandma. That must be one Daf Mem Aleph. The proud grandma with the red walker cavelling over her grandson, the king, when he did Krias HaTorah, even though he was a descendant of a foreigner. Which reminds us, the next mission describes the mitzvah of Hakel and relates that when King Agrippa reached the pasuk, Osucha ses alecha ishnachri, you shall not place a foreigner over you to be a king, Zalga Enav Demos, his eyes flowed with tears because as a descendant of the slave Herod, he was disqualified from being king. The people said to him, Maltiziar Agrippa Zechinuata, Achinuata, do not fear Agrippa, you are a brother, you are a brother. The Gemara says they deserve destruction for this flattery of Agrippa's. So, the proud grandma with a red walker quelling over her grandson the king, when he did Krias HaTorah, even though he was a descendant of a foreigner, told the Rasha standing next to her, who flattered her, saying that seeing her face is like seeing the face of an angel, which reminds Rabbi Yehuda of the West, Darshan Mutulachanif Roshayim B'olam Hazeh, is permitted to flatter the wicked in this world because it says regarding the times of Mashiach that it will not be permitted. Rish Lakish gave his source from Yaakov's statement to Esav, Kiros Pnei Elokim V'Terzeini, I've seen your face, which is like seeing the face of an angel, and you were appeased by me. We see then that Yaakov flattered Esav. Rabbi Levi gave a different interpretation of Yaakov's intent. So the proud grandma with a red walker quelling over her grandson, the king, when he did Kriyas HaTorah, even though he was a descendant of a foreigner, told the Rasha standing next to her, who flattered her, saying that seeing her face is like seeing the face of an angel, that he's going to fall into her grandson's hands and ultimately go to Gehenna, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar made several statements about a person who possesses the trait of flattery. Anyone who has in him the trait of flattery brings anger to the world, and he's nofel b'Gehenna, he falls into Gehenna. He added, Kol machnifel chavero sof nofel b'yado. One who flatters his fellow ultimately falls into his hand. He concluded that even if he does not fall into his hand, he'll fall into his son's hand, or at least the hand of his son's son. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must mean we're in Daf Mem Beis. The mobster in the red pinstripe suit giving a pep talk to his men. We're about to go out and fight with another crime family, which reminds us. The eighth period begins by describing the words spoken to the nation by the Meshul of Muhammad before going to battle, which were in Lashon HaKodesh. He told them they were heading to war al oyvechem, against your enemies, meaning not against your brothers, that if you fall into their hands, they'll have mercy on you. Rather, you're going to war against your enemies, that if you fall into their hands, they will not have mercy on you. So the mobster in the red pinstripe suit giving a pep talk to his men, were about to go out and fight with another crime family, was shocked when his brazen giant fighter got felled by a young man, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan darshens the name Galias as saying, Sha'aman begil yipanim with Kodesh Baruch Hu. They stood brazenly before Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he said, Bruluchem ish v'yered alai. Choose for yourselves a man, and let him come down to me, by which he meant Hashem, who's called an ish mochama, a man of war. Kodesh Baruch Hu responded, Harini mapil al yidei benish. I'll hereby fell him through a son of man, meaning a young man, which is how David is described. So the mobster in the red pinstripe suit, giving a pep talk to his men, were about to go out and fight with another crime family, was shocked when his brazen giant fighter got felled by a young man who killed four warriors, all descendants of a woman who cried four tears, which reminds us. The Gemara explains why the four warriors, Saf, Madon, Galias, and Yishbi, fell before David. The Pasuk says, Vatishak Arpa l'chamos v'rus davka ba. And Arpa kissed her mother-in-law, but Rus cleaved to her. Rav Yitzhak said, Amakosh Baruch Hu yavo b'nei ha-neshuka v'yipu b'ya b'nei ha-dvuka. Akosh Baruch Hu said, let the sons of the one who was kissed, meaning Arpa, come and fall in the hand of the sons of the one who cleaved, referring to Rus. Rava darshan that Arpa merited for these four warriors to descend from her in reward for the four tears she shed when parting from Naomi. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine. Magazine? That must mean we're in Daf Mem Gimel. The most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, which reminds us it was taught in Braisa, Lo Lachinam Halach Pinchas L'Machama, not for naught did Pinchas go to battle against Midian, rather to take revenge for his mother's father, Yosef, who was sold as a slave by the Midianites. The Gemara questions Pinchas' descent from Yosef from a pasuk identifying his mother as Mimenos Putiel, from the daughters of Putiel. Is this not because they descended from Yisro, who was called Putiel? Shepitam agalim l'avodos kochavim, because he fattened calves for idolatry? Pitamel? The Gemara answers, lo mi Yosef shepit bit be Yisro. No, they descended from Yosef called Putiel because he scorned and conquered his desire. The Gemara answers, the Gemara concludes that he descended from both, one from his mother's father and one from his mother's mother. This is supported by the yud in Putiel, which indicates multiple meanings. So, the most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, who was sitting on his porch while exempt from war due to his recent engagement, which reminds us the next mission teaches about the officers declaring the three exemptions from going to battle. One who built a new house and did not inaugurate it, one who planted a vineyard and did not redeem it in the fourth year, and one who married a woman and did not complete the marriage. So, the most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, who was sitting on his porch while exempt from war due to his recent engagement, behind a young tree he had grafted onto another tree, which was planted as a fence, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that in addition to planting, grafting a plant also exempts from going to war. Rabbi Zera explains that this refers to permitted grafting. The Gemara wonders what the case is, and Rabbi Yirmi explained that he grafted onto a young tree which was not subject to Orla, such as in a case where he planted the first tree as a fence or for beams, which is exempt from Orla. Therefore, only the graft exempts the owner from going to war. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak provided another answer. Daf Mem Dalad, so the Simmer Daf Mem Dalad is mud. So here goes. The scared soldier who was trudging home in the reddish mud, that must mean we're in Daf Mem Dalad. the scared soldier who is trudging home in the reddish mud, which reminds us, the next mission records Machlokas about the meaning of Hayoreva Rachalevav, one who is frightened and faint-hearted, who also returns home from war. Does it literally mean scared of battle or scared from Averos? And if Averos, is that Deraisa Averos or even the Rabbanan Averos? So the scared soldier who was trudging home in the reddish mud, when all of a sudden he heard that the war was a Melchemes Mitzvah and he must return to battle, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught B'medvar Mamurim B'Melchemes Rishus, when are these exemptions said regarding discretionary wars of a Melchemes Mitzvah HaKol Yotzim, but regarding wars of Mitzvah, everyone goes out to battle. Afil chasim mechedru v'chal mechupasa, even a chasim from his chamber and a kala from her chuppah. So the scared soldier who was trudging home in the reddish mud, when all of a sudden he heard the war was a Melchemes Mitzvah and he must return to battle, asked five judges measuring the distance from a mace in the mud to the nearest city for some chizuk. Which reminds us, the ninth parak of Sotah discusses the procedure of Egla Rufa. The Tanakam in the Mishnah says, Shoshim and Beis Din HaGadol Shel Yerushalayim HaYeyotzin. Three Dayanim from the great Beis Din of Yerushalayim would go out to measure from the surrounding cities to the corpse. Rav Yehuda says, Chamisha, five, because it says, Zikanecha, Shnaim, your elders, implying two judges, Veshoftecha, Shnaim, your judges, implying two additional judges, Vein Beis Din Shakla, and a Beis Din cannot be an even number of judges, Mosifin Alehen Od Echad. So we add one more to them, totaling five. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff we have a question where to measure for the Egla Rufa in a case where there's one corpse on top of another? That's on Dav. Memhei. Good number two, which stuff the one that Orpah merited four warriors to descend from her in reward for the four tears she shed when parting from Naomi? That's on Dav. Membeis. Good number three, which after we discuss the meaning of Hayareva Rachalevav and which Averos exempt one from battle? That's on Dav. Memdalad. Good number four, which after the question where to measure the mace from, whether it's the navel, nose, or neck? That's on Dav. Memhei. Good number five, which after we discuss three exemptions from war, one being one who just married a woman? That's on Dav. Mem Gimel. Good number six, which stuff we have different interpretations in what Yaakov Avinu intended when he said to Esav that seeing his face was like seeing the face of a malach? That's on Dav. Mem Aleph. Good number seven, which stuff we learn about the humility of Rabbi Abba Avaka, who didn't mind when the speaker gave a different explanation to his shearer? That's on Dav. Mem. Good number eight, which stuff we have a question if Rabbi Lezman Yaakov holds that the entire Sanhedrin needs to go out for Egla Rufa? That's on Dav. Memhei. Good number nine, which stuff you discuss what the Meshulach Mohammed says to the nation before they go off to war? That's on Dav. Membeis. Good number 10, which stuff you in the regarding a Melchemes Mitzvah, everyone goes out to war? That's on Dav. Mem Dalet. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhoff from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.